contending earnestly for the faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, we are so grateful at Abounding Grace Radio that you tune in each and every day to listen to the program. And we'd like to remind you humbly and sincerely, since we love to bring out the gospel to the regions and to tell people about Jesus and his church and about what the design of Christianity is. This is so needed in our day. We want to remind you that we are now a listener-supported program, so we are dependent on your prayerful and financial support. So if you've been blessed over the years, we've now been on radio since I think 2005 or six. You've been blessed over the years to hear us and to listen to us. We do humbly ask for your support, and you can do that at writing to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Again, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. So here we are. We are studying the mile wide and the inch deep church. This is an amazing church to study for our context because it's so clarifying of what Jesus views are the essential things for Christian ministry and what is not. And here he's describing what is a lukewarm church, a church that just has no fire, no zeal. And Jesus makes a very strong statement in the middle of this as he levels that charge. I could wish that you were either cold or hot. Now, that's a fascinating thing to say. That's a scary thing to say, too. Because to be cold is not a good thing. To be hot is a wonderful thing. And Jesus is saying, when you sit in the middle, nothing happens. People aren't going anywhere. So he's saying, I want you in your ministries to be going somewhere. You are either becoming hot in your zeal and your passion for being involved in my service, says the Lord, the ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the word should be driving you to that, or you are becoming so offended by it that you're getting cold. And that's just how the scriptures present it, that when we wield the word, when the word goes out, it cuts two ways. It's a two-edged sword. That word doesn't return void. It doesn't return void, meaning that it will either be making people cold or it'll be making people hot, but in the middle, nothing's happening. And I've always said, if the church where I pastor, if people want to leave, I want it never to be because they're not getting the pure preaching of the Word of God, but for a different reason. If they are going to leave, it has been because they have been so confronted with the word that it has been so plainly and directly set before them and challenged them in such a way to convict them of their sin, their need for Christ and his grace to actually make some real changes, they can't remain lukewarm. They are either get hot or they got to get out. That the preaching actually drives them out of the church. And if you want to know what that looks like, just read John 6. Jesus drove out many who were superficial followers. No one in the buildings we preach in should ever be satisfied in just being a seat warmer. They're either coming to Christ or they're going in the opposite direction. And that is just what Christ says here. I hate lukewarmness. I could wish you were either cold or hot, but because you are not either of these, you are like those waters piped in from Hierapolis, as you want to vomit them out of your mouth when you drink them, I want to vomit you out of my mouth. I want your ministry to be taking people in one of these directions. This is just striking. And I just said this week, you can't be taking people in these directions if your ministry is only on the surface and skin deep. If you're saying, I'm just not getting anything from the Word of God when it's exposited and preached. That's an awful thing. That creates a lukewarm environment. Because the sword, as it cuts two ways, it is becoming the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. I wish the believer, I wish everyone who sits there and hears would become believers, and that they would be going in the direction of hot. But I know that it should be driving people one way or the other, never in the middle. So this is what Jesus is saying here. This is what Jesus is confronting here. The alternative would be to have a ministry that doesn't produce anything, that just allows people to be complacent and ho-hum and have a great social club and cling to all the things that are unimportant. The wrong ministries, having a great youth program and a great this and that, that is not the heart of what we do. It is the preaching of the gospel that saves. That's what the Lord tells us in Romans 10. And when people are never moved, never confronted, never challenged, never made missionary-minded, you see what it does, right? It totally affects the witness of the church. Jesus wants wholeheartedness. The church is never about us, our comforts. Jesus is calling us to something quite different. I wish you were either cold or hot. Let's be really clear. This challenge to this church was what? Respond, deliver the message of the gospel, and respond to it with fervent zeal as it springs into your activity and ministries as a church. Let me put it in conventional terms. Be on fire. Yes, that's okay. You know, there should be a passion, a fervor. I love what Titus describes. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You know what zealous means? Burning with zeal. There should be a burning about your work and service in Christ's name. And so he should be looking at our churches, and what should he be seeing? As one pastor says, look at your church. Mark its feebleness, slow growth of the gospel among the lives that the bulk of professing Christians are living, and answer the question, is that operation of the divine spirit that comes to transform and quicken everything into its own vivid and flaming life, is it there, or is it the operation of our own wants, our own selfishness and worldliness, crushing down and hemming in that power that ought to sway us? Jesus is saying, I deserve more than this. I deserve more. I deserve much better treatment than a bunch of people who claim to be followers, but show no life, no commitment, no drive. So when Jesus says, I will vomit this kind of stuff out of my mouth, how do we apply it? Is it not fair to say that the half-hearted, complacent, only casually interested Christian really is showing that he's no Christian at all? And is distasteful to Christ. He wants the mind and the heart. He's not calling us to be fanatic. A fanatic is someone who has commitment with no understanding. But when our understanding drives our commitment, that produces hearts aflamed. It's okay to be excited, to be joyful and involved in the work of Christ. And that's the issue here. What happened that a church once doing so well could come into a lukewarm state so quickly? The only answer to that is seen in this church's assessment of itself. Now remember, Jesus just gave his assessment. In verse 17, he rehearses their assessment of themselves. Listen to verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you're wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. Do you know what Laodicea was famous for, dear listener? It was its prosperity. It had amassed wealth unlike any other place. They had a great banking center, a state-of-the-art medical school, and their manufacturing was untouched at the time. The city was just full of pride. Here's the really interesting thing. An earthquake shook the region in about AD 60, and all the other cities around the region appealed to Caesar for financial aid. Laodicea was the only city that pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. They rebuilt the entire city themselves. They had that much resource, that much wealth, that much riches. Listen to Tacitus, a Roman historian. In the same year, Laodicea, one of the famous Asiatic cities, was laid in ruins by an earthquake, but recovered by its own resources without assistance from ourselves. The city was utterly self-dependent. They were full of pride. Transfer that. What is this church's assessment of itself? Did you catch it? You run around saying you're rich and wealthy. This will sound really familiar. They believed what? That economic prosperity was evidence of God's blessing, and that they were a spiritually strong, thriving congregation. That's just like the health and wealth movement today. It's the word of faith movement today. That's those who say, name it and claim it. The church thought it was in a good condition because it was wealthy. You know, it's like a man building a beautiful baseball field with a wonderful pitching mound, beautiful green grass, hundreds of bleachers, the best bats, the best dugouts, everything imaginable. Everyone is talking about that baseball field. What good would it be without a ball? You know, all of that and one little piece, if it's missing, everything else is unuseful. What good is a church? Now listen, let's really apply this today. What good is a church that's packed with people, has the best programs, has the best youth pastor, has all the best facilities, has every amount of resource, has the best labor team, I mean, has the best missionary team possible, and yet does not have Christ, because the church is half-hearted in its commitment. See how that's possible? It's a mile wide, but it's an inch deep. All those things are utterly useless and ineffective. They are only building an outer false sense of confidence, and that's the issue. Self-complacency, reliance in ourselves, will breed lukewarmness. The church in Smyrna was the polar opposite of Laodicea. It was poor. You know why it was poor? It was constantly losing its members to martyrdom. Why? Because it was taking a stand against the things of the culture. This church was the exact opposite. It jumped headlong into the culture, saying we need to be like the culture. It looked no different from the world, and they kept all their riches because of it. And that's where it all went wrong. You know what Jesus says here? Jesus says, you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is shocking. A church didn't even realize that from Christ's perspective, they had everything outwardly. Inwardly, they were lacking everything. What had they forgotten? They had forgotten, dear listener, how desperately needful they are for Christ's continued ministry of righteousness and the gospel to them. See, if you're wretched, miserable, poor, and don't see it, you've forgotten how needy you are of grace. This was the very thing that happened to ancient Israel when they went into the land and they got rich and prosperous and built their homes and everyone was fat off the land. They forgot who? The Lord their God. This is what happened to the church in Laodicea. This is the church of our time, the church that's gone apostate. And the Lord is calling us to return to Him as the pearl of great price, the reason we minister, having hearts aflamed, that His gospel would reach out to the ends of the earth, for that is what we are set apart to do. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We prayerfully and financially need your support. So do please write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.